Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
On the Louisville Cardinals Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Coach Dan McDonald Radio Show, brought to you by Parler. Also brought to you by Kroger, fresh for everyone, and by U of L Health, official healthcare provider of the Louisville Cardinals. Now live from Parler, here's the voice of Louisville Cardinals baseball, Sean Moff.
And hello and welcome to Parlor here in J-Town. Folks have got their pizza, their wings, they've got some cold beverages, all the good stuff. We'd love for you to come down and join us, but in the meantime, we appreciate you tuning in, whether it's here in town on the radio or points across the globe. Again, my name is Sean Moth. We're joined by the head coach of the Louisville Cardinals, Dan McDonald. And, Coach, I want to roll back to the weekend to start with. You little bit of a bad taste in the mouth on Sunday, but, man, series win on the road in the ACC is something you'll take every time.
No doubt. Got two good starts there, right, with Seabass and Evan Webster, and we seem to get that most weekends. We got to figure out the Sunday challenges, but, hey, right now take advantage of Friday and Saturday, and when you got a chance to win, do everything you can to win, and that's what we've done for the most part this year in the ACC. We haven't won enough weekends, but we've kept our head above water. We're always winning a game, sometimes two. NC State we were able to sweep, so a little bit of everything, but you know, I like the direction we're heading in.
When I look at the two wins, I especially like the fact that on Friday there was some resilience, because you take a lead, it looks like you've got all the momentum, they kind of chip away, they tie it up, you're able to run away from them a little bit, and then an extra inning win on the road is always difficult to do, especially under the circumstances with which we did it. But you really get a team effort to win those two games. You alluded to the two starting pitchers offensively. I felt like 1-9, as you like, really got involved and contributed to the victories.
We said it on the radio the other night. In those special years, you got to have some of those special games. And a special game is winning on the road in extra innings. That's just not easy to do, especially after, like, we blew the lead, then they took the lead off of one of the top relievers in the country. JT Benson hits a two-run homer, and that leads into the offense has been really good the last month, and the pitching has been in spurts and with certain players. As a staff, I know between Coach Williams and myself, it's we need a couple guys to step up. We need another righty or two to be more consistent, get us some outs, and if we can get a few more guys going on that pitching staff, then you have what we feel is a really good pitching staff.
Yeah, no question about it. I guess the good news is that back end is still looking strong. You know a closer's maybe going to have that one rough outing, but Josh Bibben just doesn't seem to be headed in that direction the way he's pitched, and he gets you back-to-back efforts there on the weekend.
And able to use him in just about any role. It's not like it doesn't have to be – he doesn't have to start the inning, and it's not only the ninth inning. You know, some – relievers or closers, you got to kind of coddle a little bit or put them in a position to succeed. Tucker has been a guy, you know, like Webby, we laugh about. We throw him into any situation at any time, and he seems to handle it fine.
And I make the generational mistake of calling him Josh, which is his dad's name, who played at Louisville. So, yeah, Tuck, sorry about that. What I like about Tucker, too, he's got that even-keeled, very competitive look in his eye. But at the end of that game that you guys picked up the win, I mean, there was some serious emotion out of him. And I know you can appreciate that just for the sake of the emotion, but also the fact that he was able to bottle it. And then when it was time to let it go, he let it go.
Well, you talk about boxes to check, and Tucker was one of those guys as a freshman. Might not have had the success he wanted, but the work ethic, the toughness, the competitiveness, the makeup, the character. And Coach Williams just kept saying he's got the it factor.
Yeah.
And once we can just tweak a few things and his confidence can grow, the sky's the limit for him. And you just hope younger pitchers on staff, I think they're respecting what Tucker Bivens doing, you know, between the lines and outside the field of play. And you don't have to be a younger guy. Heck, I think there's a couple older guys that if they could take from the Tucker Bivens book, they could start having a little more success as well.
For me, sitting in the broadcast position, usually I've got an umpire and a catcher kind of shielding me from seeing late movement on pitches. But when I look back on highlights or when I rewatch a game, I get the opportunity to see the fact that that sinking fastball, it isn't quite a splitter, but, man, that late dive out of the zone and down is – it's got to be so difficult as a hitter to approach, and I know that's something he's kind of added in the offseason by just kind of working on grips and tinkering with delivery.
That's just playing, right? Just going through the ups and downs. He went off to the Cape Cod League this summer. It was shortened, but he came back to Louisville, kept working at it, and you just got to keep working. Like, you just don't arrive. That's what we keep telling these guys. I mean, it's a process. Stick to the process. Trust the process, enjoy the process of the three phrases we've been saying, especially the last couple weeks, and, you know, just keep working at it. And so hopefully, like I said, if we can just get a couple more pitchers to keep working at it, it can change the whole dynamic of our pitching staff and our team.
One of the big draws at Mark Light Stadium are their shakes. I don't know if that's something you knew about, something you've ever partaken in. We were kind enough to have Josh White, their SID, give us vouchers, and I think Steven and Michael and I all were able to enjoy one at some point on the weekend. Have you ever had a Mark Light shake?
I don't want to say I probably tasted one years ago. I'm disappointed I didn't get one this weekend. I saw Coach Mundorf enjoying one, and he didn't offer me a taste, but, hey, I'm glad he got to enjoy it. My brother Mike was there, my sister-in-law, and a bunch of friends. They enjoyed the heck out of them. So you give me your assessment. Well, how was it?
Well, they got about 30 flavors. I went on the young lady's recommendation. I went with a sugar cane. It was vanilla ice cream and chocolate chip cookie dough. And yeah, it was good. They offered the vouchers every day. I said, look, I'm going to have one this weekend. I don't need that kind of calories. But, yeah, it's definitely worth the visit. And I know Ian Vertrees, one of our big fans, made the trip down there. We had a good crowd down there. And that's got to be so demoralizing for a home team that's trying to get things going. I know they've had some struggles. But then to have a pocket of fans that can out-cheer them in a couple of wins.
I was really proud of our alumni in the state of Florida, the fans maybe from the Louisville area, and then obviously our parents travel really well. We try to keep our parents up to date early in the fall so they can make these plans. And, you know, as next year we'll open up in Arlington, Texas. So I'll be promoting that opening weekend where the Rangers play, the World Series champions, you know, just giving our fans an opportunity to follow us.
Yeah. So Miami, we move forward to last night, and – I asked Coach Snyder on the post game yesterday. I want to ask you, how much of an impact was there on the team based on how things went down at their place? You get two runs on two solo home runs. Probably should have had another three-run home run, but the wind kind of knocked it down. But it wasn't a very good offensive showing against a very good team that's in first place in Conference USA 2 weeks before. Last night you guys come out. I've never seen an inning like that first inning.
Yeah, I think we scored, 10 against Rutgers. Was that Derby Day?
Yep.
I believe, you know, because I think Andrew Clark hit a
– had the grand slam and a three-run home run. Yeah.
That's right. And he shook my hand. He said, there's your 10 spot, Coach. Because I think I had said, guys, are we ever going to, like, score 10 runs in an inning? You know, I just kind of threw that out there, probably one of my frustrations. And Andrew Clark shook my hand and said, there's your 10 spot. So when we scored double digit, I was thinking to myself, that might be the most in an inning. But to do it in the first inning, not like, you know, it was against their starter, and then obviously we got into their bullpen. And Gavin Keelan was the same guy that, you know, maybe got beat on a fastball down there at Bowling Green with the bases loaded in the first, and that gave them momentum, and they ran off the field, and I was just really proud of him. That's just part of his maturing process. The more experience he gets, the better he gets, the more he probably relaxes and takes a deep breath, and that was a pretty swing to go, you know, left center, and we just had a lot of good at-bats. And that first, so it's a combination of the frustration from a few weeks ago, maybe the frustration from Sunday, but just you got to show up and you got to be professional, and we seemed ready to go last night.
No question about it. Back with Gavin, I talked with Coach Snides about this, and I know up in the booth I've got time to fill in a 2.5, 3, 3.5, 4-hour broadcast. A lot of it's based on numbers, and when the bases are loaded, when there's a runner at third fewer than two out, you try to reflect on numbers, how guys have done. Gavin at that point was 0 for 10 with the bases loaded. I don't know if that's something the coaches were aware of or if he was aware of, but it seemed like he'd been a little anxious, a little eager sometimes in that situation. I felt like when he took that first pitch, that maybe kind of helped him out a little bit, and it felt like there was a little relief that he finally was able to get the job done with the bases full and in a big way.
And that's what you love about baseball. Like, we can't draw up a play. Not that he's not maybe our best hitter, but you can't, like, draw up a play for your so-called best hitter or for maybe the guy who has the most success in that situation. And you just hope the law of average, you know, catches up. So sometimes when the numbers aren't pretty, there's hope that, hey, it's going to start to go in his favor. Sometimes when it's going so good, you're like, uh-oh, there's no way he can keep that pace. Yeah. And so I think you're right. It's just the more experience he gets, the more he relaxes, takes a deep breath. One thing you love about Gavin, very similar to Knapchick, they look like they're getting paid to swing early. Like, they're not – and we're not a takey-takey kind of team. If you want to be aggressive and you want to get your swing off, so be it, as long as you can have success. I remember putting my arm around Sutton Whiting saying, hey, this is what you're batting when you swing at the first pitch. So I know you want to hit the first pitch. And Boomer was great at hitting the first pitch.
Yeah.
Sutton wasn't as great. So our job as coaches is to just try to put them in positions where they can succeed, point some things out to them, but ultimately just – let them be who they want to be, and Gavin wants to swing.
Had you at either Citadel as a player or coach at Old Miss or remembered an inning like that? I think 11 was the school record in the modern age for Louisville. I think we did it against Akron in March of 22. But, I mean, a 13-run inning, the first nine guys reached and scored, and I think it was 13 of the first 14 that got on base and scored, and the only one that didn't was JT Benson, who had an RBI ground out. I mean, it was as fluid a dominant effort as I've ever seen it in an inning, let alone the first.
Probably, yeah. I don't recall an inning like that. And as you know, Sean, I mean, you could just throw batting practice and not have that kind of success on just a BP fastball. I mean, hitting a baseball, so when a pitcher has the ability to throw 90 miles an hour, might throw a breaking ball, don't know where, you know, he's trying to locate. I tip my hat to the offense, and like I said, I feel like the offense has been in a really good spot.
Yeah.
And so even if you have that bad game, even if you get carved up, you should be able to just bounce right back because we have so many hitters right now in a pretty good spot. If Eddie King gets it going, and that was our hope, that if he can get it going like McCoy got it going, man, that really takes your lineup into the scary mode. And last night it was scary.
And you say you can't draw up a play, but why is it that when your leadoff guy can bang a double into the alley, that's when those innings usually happen? Like, a lot of times a walk can cause problems. Even you get a solo home run to open an inning. We saw NC State do that against us. Sometimes that's all the offense you get, but you get that extra base hit. He's got to worry about a runner. He's got to worry about the fact that he just got hammered. I mean, it seems like that extra base hit to open an inning a lot of times opens the floodgates.
It's contagious. It's what they see, right? The reticular activating system.
Mm.
I see him bang a fastball in the right center gap. And it's just, it's that good mojo and it's that belief, like, okay. And sometimes it goes the other way too, right? When no one's hitting the fastball and everybody's tentative or everybody's late. So, yeah, JT has the ability to really set the tone, especially when he's on base and he's looking to run. He just adds a lot of pressure to a pitching staff.
No question. looking back on the weekend and the week itself, I want to point out two performances. One of those is Parker Detmers. He pitched that third of an inning, and you complimented him in the postgame in that rough game on Sunday. But last night, I saw a 93-94, and as you look at the TrackMan zone, there was nothing anywhere near the middle of the zone. He was dotting down and away, up and away, down and in. I mean, that's as good as he has looked. He seems like he's maybe turned a little bit of a corner with this command, and that's going to be huge for the team.
It's part of the growth process. It's part of 1% better. I think it's also, hey, guys, we're really not freshmen anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you've been here since last July. You just, school's winding down. They're about to start final exams. And so, you know, let's graduate from your freshman year and let's kind of bust through the door. And I think a combination, you know, we've seen Ty Stark have success as a freshman.
Yeah.
Hartman and Detmers are moving in that direction.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. We get a few more pitchers to just be a little more consistent, get us some outs, stay on track. Like I said, our pitching staff becomes scary. And I gave the shirt to Gavin Keelan. And after the prayer, he flipped the shirt to Parker Detmers.
I love it.
Yeah,
I mean, and I didn't mean to leave Hartman out. He went six up, six down. That's as good as he's looked. The other pitcher I wanted to mention, Patrick Forbes was given the opportunity to get out there. I think maybe, no pun intended, a little bit of a break that it was the glove hand that was injured. So he was still able to throw, kind of keep that arm in shape. I know he's not going to go out and throw six innings this weekend, but it was nice to see him not just back on the mound, but rather effectively.
And we need him.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy that was great in spring training. You're the opening weekend Sunday starter, if you call it that. That's high praise right there. And so just the value of a power righty, I think, you know, like Tucker Bivin, we could use him when we feel is best. You know, I think right now we really can't worry about who's starting on Sunday and where we're at. Let's support Seabass and put pitchers in a position to help us win Friday. Let's support Webby on Saturday and put pitchers in a position. And then, you know, after that, you say, okay, who's available Sunday? And let's not forget Justin West.
Yeah.
You know, he started the first midweek game last year.
Yeah.
And that, you got to earn that.
Yeah.
So he's been good, maybe not great, but he's going through the growing pains. This is really his first year pitching at the Division I level. So, you know, he's not lighting up the radar, but that's a lot of swing and miss in there.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something about his ball, the fastball, obviously the big old-fashioned 12-6 curveball. I mean, we need Justin West. As I keep saying, we need a few more guys to step up. That was big last night.
Yeah, a little Skylar Mead out of him. That's good stuff. So we will continue to roll on. If you're here at Parler, we'd love to have questions from you that we can answer in between our segments, so you are privy to those answers from Coach. We're going to have a couple players on here as well as we talk about the Louisville Cardinals baseball team as we get to the stretch run of 2024. More from the Dan McDonald Coaches Show after this. Welcome back to Parler in J-Town. It's the Dan McDonald Coaches Show. Sean Month here with you talking with Coach. There's a lot of things I love about Coach. One of the things I particularly appreciate is he gives me full autonomy with putting questions together for the Coach's Show. He has no idea what I'm going to talk to him about. And so he rolls the dice sometime. We've got a big weekend coming up with Clemson coming to town, a home game next Tuesday against Northern Kentucky. We'll touch on that. But we're going to go quick in this segment because we've got two great players to talk to. But I'm going to let you think about playing at Miami in 1990 because that Citadel team won 26 consecutive games after a loss to NC State. We're 27-1 at that point, and you got called to the regional in Miami. You got a win over NC State. He hit leadoff, had a double, 3-for-5, his 38th stolen base of the year. They beat ECU, and you missed Roger by about 2 years as pitching coach there, and then two wins over Miami. Did you have some reflection when you went to that ballpark here as a coach? I know you've been there before.
Oh, yeah.
As a coach, but does it mean something to you when you get back there?
No doubt. I get text messages from some of my teammates from the Citadel when we're down there. Even like Zion, you know, because these players have heard the story. Hey, you can win 26 in a row.
Yeah.
I've been part of a team, so why do you have to lose? Like, why do you have to have a letdown? How do you not show up? And so I kind of throw those things in their face often. I don't say often, but enough, where even Zion says, hey, coach, anybody on that wall you play against? And I said, yeah. I said, Johnson, that's Charles Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
He was a freshman first baseman.
Yes, he was.
Jorge Fabregas was the third baseman.
Yeah.
Those are two future – they ended up being two future big league catchers.
Gino Demare came into a game. I think he started in left field in one of those games, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't remember that, but I just remember and Orlando Palmeiro's the guy that – he's in my office on the front of the sports page. I'm tagging him out.
Yep.
But I remember, I remember the four games pretty clearly. I remember how we scored the runs, how we stopped them from scoring. I mean, it's just very clear in my head. And it's pitching, defense, and timely hitting. I mean, it's just there's no secret to baseball. That's how Stony Brook can win at LSU. The Citadel can win at Miami. Kent State can win at Oregon.
Yeah.
You have to throw strikes. You got to make literally, I won't say, I mean, almost all the routine plays. Just make every routine play, even though they're not always so routine. And then if you can get a timely hit, if you can get a two-out hit, it's just it's amazing how simple the formula is for winning in baseball, but how challenging it is to actually do it.
All-tournament selection at second base in that regional. Do you like how the regionals have evolved? That was the 6-team format, no super regionals at the time. It was a little more of a gauntlet. You had to win those four games. Do you like the regional, super regional setup, or would you like to explore maybe going back to the old way?
No, I like the regional, super regional setup. To win a 6-team regional, my gosh, you got to have four starters just if you're in the winner's bracket.
Yeah.
And you see how these Tuesday games are going. We're talking about Sunday. Like, a lot of teams don't even have a consistent Sunday starter. So I like the regional format. I think it's so exciting. But I always say Super Regional weekend is the best weekend in college baseball. Nothing against Omaha. Believe me, you get to Omaha, that's awesome. But 16 teams playing a 2 out of 3, 8 spots to go to Omaha, that's the most exciting weekend in all of college baseball.
Yeah, fantastic. Clemson coming to town. Eric Backich, former Michigan coach, had his first job just 1 year under Jack Leggett. He's brought Jack back in. Jimmy Bellinger, Cardinal forever, pitching coach. When you look at Clemson, you know, we go to their park, there's always a little bit of an adjustment. But I think we maybe undervalue the adjustment that goes the other way. And I'm looking at the numbers. They're hitting .306 at home. They're hitting .236 on the road. Do you think a team that plays in a smaller ballpark can maybe think about the big swing and being able to get balls out of the yard when they're on the road and find that they can't?
I don't know. I mean, it's I don't know what our numbers are at home and on the road necessarily. I mean, individually sometimes I know. But, yeah, it could definitely play into your confidence and balls that get to the warning track or that would have been in the third row at our stadium. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean – baseball is such a mental game that I wouldn't put anything past, you know, success or failure. And I'm glad to hear that they don't swing it as well on the road.
Yeah, courtesy of Stephen Williams. So we appreciate the numbers. But I've watched them take BP in the past, and Wake Forest the same way. They'll take that swing, they'll watch the fly ball, and then it's caught on the warning track, and they'll kind of you can see them deflate, and it's interesting to watch. I finally want to ask you this. As we get into the stretch run, you know, there's the focus on – moving up in the ACC standings, getting some series wins. How do you address the urgency of winning without having the team press? Because I'm assuming there's a fine balance.
Yeah, I don't talk about – I have no idea what our RPI is. I don't look at it. I don't look at the rankings. I have no idea where we are in the ACC. It's not stuff that I really – it doesn't have a bearing on, well, we're going to play what, harder because – or we're not going to play as hard because
sure. –
like I just – I just want these guys to play their best baseball. And the years we've had success, we've played good baseball down the stretch. Yeah. You know, it's do everything to play good baseball Friday night. And if you win, great, turn the page. And if you lose, okay, turn the page. Like, it's just – and when you look at a couple years that we've really had hiccups, we just didn't play well down the stretch at all. And you look back and go, man, if we'd have just won that game or maybe just won that game – and so maybe it's that carryover effect where it's not about winning the weekend. It's not about sweeping. It's just be where your feet are.
Yeah.
Play great baseball today. And if we can do that with the talent we have I promise you, we're gonna make a lot of headway, and we're gonna go into the postseason a scary team. I mean, I think we are definitely a scary team as you see what the offense is doing, and as the pitching staff starting to head in the right direction.
Let's win that first inning on Friday.
Amen.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate your time.
You got
it. Head Coach Dan McDonald joining us on the Coach's Show. We'll be back with JT Benson and Webby, Evan Webster. Thanks for sticking around. Enjoy your night at Parlor. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Parlor in J-Town. Sean Moth here with you with the Dan McDonald Coach's Show. So glad you've joined us. Appreciate Coach and his time. We turn it over now to the lefty, but not out of the pen. He's the weekend starter on Saturdays, Evan Webster from Union, Kentucky, Ryle High School. Evan, thanks for your time. Good to see you.
Yep, good to be back this year.
So, number 27. Is there a story behind the number?
It was randomly assigned to me.
All right.
I remember my freshman year, they gave us a questionnaire to fill out and asked us what numbers we wanted, and I asked for 22 or 17 because that was my number in high school and then my mom's favorite number. And showed up the first day and had 27 on my back. So,
and it's done you well.
It has. Yeah. It was fun. I'm a big Reds fan, so they just signed Trevor Bauer and won a Cy Young with the Reds, and he was 27 when they added him. So that was, I was like, I could be the Trevor Bauer for Louisville. But
I like it. Bowling. You were an all-region bowler in high school.
Yep.
So what's your best game?
Best score is a 279. That was one-off game, best day of my life in bowling. But
was it part of a best series? Do you have a series record?
No, we never did series. It was just a one game. That was in like a practice, if you will. But I did set the school record, held it for a year with a 235, and then an eighth grader came and broke it. But
wow. I took bowling as my PE credit because the Student Activity Center at Colorado State had an alley in the basement. I didn't know there was so much to learn about bowling. But I didn't learn enough, clearly. But was this a situation where you had, like, next to the Trevor Bauer poster, did you have a bowling poster? Did you have a favorite bowler?
I got really into it when I was playing it in high school, but it wasn't anything that, like, I was like, oh, I'm really good at this from a young age. It was throw it hard and see what happens.
Sure.
And, then it kind of started at my high school as a club and then turned into a formal sport.
All right.
But then we had a coach come in and, like, actually teach us how to spin a bowling ball. And
yeah.
Got pretty good at it, so.
You have your own ball and shoes and all that?
I actually have two in the car right now.
When's the last time you bowled?
It's been a while. Me and a couple of the freshmen have talked about going and doing it on an off day, and I think once the season ends, before they go off to summer ball, we're gonna do that. But
that's a good choice. My experience is when you don't bowl a lot, the wrist experiences all kinds of new pain the day after. So let's stay away from it until the season's over. What are you left-handed?
Yep.
I know that's a dumb question, but it's
actually not, because I'm the only thing I do left-handed is throw things.
Okay.
I write right-handed, like I'm right eye dominant. Everything I do is right-handed except for throwing things.
Okay. Walk-up songs. There have been some important meaning for you over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I regret to inform kids that I don't always notice walk-up tunes just because I'm usually talking. What's the walk-up tune this year? What's the story behind it?
This was the year they let us do two, just in case there was two outings in a weekend. But as a starter, I only get my one. But I did Welcome to the Jungle, a little nod to Cincinnati and growing up a Bengals fan. And I just got an alert just now that two of our guys requested to be traded, but that's that hurts. But just a song that brings me back home, I guess.
Sets a little tone. I like it. You have an affinity for crossword puzzles. Do you do Sudoku? Is there a Mount Rushmore of pen to paper games or digital games now? I guess is that as it were.
I do like that on some of the planes when we travel. There's Sudoku on the little monitor. I'll play that on the plane. But yeah, I do a crossword puzzle. I subscribe to the New York Times to get the big crossword puzzle instead of just the mini. I do a lot of them. I remember showing you the first road trip. I bought the crossword puzzle book, said I was going to see if I could get through all of them when we're on the road and during the season.
So how are we doing?
It's slowed down.
All right.
I'm probably about there are 100 in there. I've probably done about 60.
Okay.
But I probably did the first 50 of them in the first 2 weeks.
as you can imagine, when I'm on the air by myself talking for three and a half hours and things get out of hand one way or the other, there are things to fill time with. And one of the things I brought up over the course of the season was, I think this was last year's, there's an old episode of All in the Family where there's an argument between two of the characters about what order you put on socks and shoes. So I'm going to pose this to you, because the thought is that everybody starts with a sock, but it's the second step that's crucial. You either put on a second sock or you put on a first shoe. Now, at the third step, you're going to have two socks and a shoe, and obviously you'll have it completed. So where are you on step number two? Are you a two-sock guy, or are you a sock-shoe guy?
It's sock-sock-shoe-shoe.
Okay.
At least in my routine.
So if the house catches on fire and you're mid-preparing, then you have two socks to run outside in the snow, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's fair. That's interesting. I was the same way, but now that I'm older, once I get the foot up, I just go ahead and put both on at the same time because it's a lot easier. I knew you'd have a good answer. What's your degree in? Now you finished your degree.
Yep, I graduated with a major in accounting and then a minor in finance and sports administration, and then my master's program I'm in now is business data analytics.
Wow, and how's that going?
It's going well. I've got just finished the semester. Actually, last road trip, I did my last final for the semester on Saturday, and then I've got a couple more classes over the summer.
When baseball is over, what do you want that degree, those degrees to lead to?
That's a good question.
I don't mean to scare you with that question, yeah. You know?
I'm sure my mom in the crowd is going to be interested to hear this answer, but I don't really know yet.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I've always said that I'll play baseball until someone tells me you're not good enough to keep playing baseball. And then see what happens with job and life after that. But ultimately, I've always said my dream job is to kind of be like in the business side of like a front office for a major league team.
Okay. I've discovered time travel. I'm going to put you in a time machine, throw you back to late summer, early fall 2019, and you can go seek out Evan Webster and give him some advice. What do you say to Evan Webster in early fall 2019?
I think kind of what Coach Mack has preached to us for 5 years, he said it, here tonight, that just trusting the process. And I've actually talked to some of the freshman P's that through today and live at bats and talking about how just they were feeling and stuff like that. And I was just, the one thing I kept telling them was just keep working, because it's kind of a weird situation for me with COVID hitting and, you know, not having a true freshman year.
Yeah.
But just trust that everything that the coaches are telling you, everything that older guys are telling you, is something that is going to translate, and, you know, it's going to pay off in the long run.
Listen.
Basically.
Yeah. Amen. I love it. That's great advice. Favorite ballpark? This can be big league ballpark or one that you've played in.
I mean, I'm partial to Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Growing up, going there all the time, and still get to go there a couple times during the year, during the summer. Specifically college, just the first freshman weekend of going to Ole Miss was really cool.
Swayze, yeah.
Texas A&M, just the environment was really cool. I can definitely say for sure my least favorite ballpark is Wake Forest.
I hear that.
The situations that I've had there of a line drive off the elbow, a walk-off homer, and that place is
I don't
tiny.
Know. I think out-dueling Chase Burns is a feather in the cap.
Yeah, I got my revenge.
You might get some mileage on that one.
I got my personal little revenge at Wake Forest.
Yeah. But favorite uniform?
The Ollies were my favorite last year. And then I think at the start of this year, it turned into the retro with the short pants.
Okay.
Everyone hated that I loved wearing them because I always requested to wear them on Saturdays.
It's a good look.
I do like the black and the white. Coach Mack requested that my buttons get fixed, but I love fixing them in between pitches and just kind of having that to worry about instead of the game and the situation getting too big.
And finally, the Henry Davis Clubhouse. You have a special connection there. I mean, it's got to be just so special for you to have a facility like that. What does it mean to you to have that this year to finish things up?
Yeah, I was lucky enough for Coach Mack. We usually force a freshman to thank someone that helps the program, but I was the one that got to thank them for when we first got introduced to it. And Just seeing how it was for 4 years and just the new locker room. These freshmen are going to be spoiled for 4 years. But it's a really big improvement for us just in terms of team morale, but also just functionality and, you know, how it works and how guys can, you know, be in that clubhouse together and making connections compared to a visitor locker room in the football stadium.
Sure. Well, Webby, if things don't work out in analytics or front office, maybe we'll find a chair in one of the booths and you can put the headset on and do some games, either TV or radio. How do you feel about that?
I just saw the video of one of the Reds relievers who was dealing with an arm injury out for the year, and he was doing the radio last night, and he was calling plays, and it would be fun.
All right. We're going to consider it. Abbott Webster, our guest. Webby, thanks for your time. Appreciate it, man. All right. Back with JT Benson on the Dan McDonald Coaches Show. Rolling on at Parlor in J-Town, it is the Dan McDonald Coaches Show. Thanks to Coach Mack, thanks to Evan Webster, and now we're joined by JT Benson from Crestwood, Kentucky, South Oldham High School. JT, thanks for your time. Good to see you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, number 13, we asked Webby about 27. Tell me about 13. It's not a number a lot of people embrace, but you do not have Triscuit escaphobia, right?
No, I don't know what that means. But no,
unlucky number, right?
Unlucky number. No, no, no. It's not an unlucky number. You know, I was number 26 my whole life, pretty much. Growing up, I came here, and they gave me number 52. And I wasn't, you know, a big fan of number 52, but it was a multiple of 52.
Okay.
And 13 is right there in a multiple of 52 and 26, and it just worked out.
So. Now, do you and Beard give Humphrey a bad time? Because he stuck with his 50 number.
He loved his 50 number. We give him some crap about that. But yeah.
So the three of you obviously went through that redshirt season. At the time, it was awful. We've had a few other guys go through it. We saw Lippy and Dickerson kind of go through it. We'd see them out there taking early BP and putting on a show. What did you do to give them advice? I asked Isaac. He said he was trying to do what he could to counsel them. I'm assuming you chimed in as well as an outfielder to kind of help those guys bridge the gap.
Oh, yeah. Isaac did a great job leading by example in the weight room. He came here a little bit smaller than he is now, and he worked his butt off. So, if anything, he was a big example for them. But, you know, I try to help him with the mindset of things. You know, you got that whole year to get yourself better, and it's, you know, it's your fault if you don't get yourself better in that time. But it's cool to be able to be in front of those guys and teach them more.
How far back do you and Logan Beard go?
Shoot, too far. No,
like, are we talking like 5, 6, 7 years old?
6, 7, yeah. Seven. Yeah, we've been together for a while.
So have you been teammates more often than you've been against each other? Or?
Yeah, but I remember those games against each other a lot more than I remember playing with them, too.
How did those – who won out on those? North and South Oldham, right?
You know, Logan won 3 of the 4, but the one that mattered the most when we went to the old region game. So, yeah.
And you still remind him about that, right?
All the time. Yeah.
Football in high school. What position did you play primarily?
Yeah, I played safety and running back. So
what do you miss about it? Or do you miss it?
The constant just competitiveness. Every single down, everything you got to be aware. And, you know, you may get hit, you may not. And, you know, I love a little anticipation of that, too.
At any point, have you on a ground ball up the middle where, you know, you're at first base, you're trying to beat out the double play, you have a flashback, and you feel like just taking out the middle infielder?
Yeah, running down. No violence. All right. No,
what was your favorite thing about football?
No, the constant competitiveness, seriously. Yeah. And being able to play, you know, that one game, then having to wait a week, you know, that's a little bit different anticipation, too. So going to the Friday Night Lights, you know, it's fun. There's nothing like it.
Were you a talker?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big time.
A little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
The recruiting process and your visits, where else did you go and what was the process like? Because I know you've got some family ties to a school down the road, and that's something that you kind of grew up with, and you're not alone in that.
Yeah, you know, I never went on a visit down there or anything, but, yeah, that was the big thing around the Benson family, you know. And it was there's nothing like Louisville, obviously, but having that to hold against those guys, it was fun.
Yeah. Summer in Madison. This was after the redshirt year. Hadn't played baseball in a while.
Oh, yeah.
They know how to do summer ball. The crowds are huge. It's a great town. Mm-hmm. 297 jacks, 43 driven in. That had to be an amazing experience and such a great job for you to just get back to baseball.
Oh, yeah. It was a blast. That was one of the funnest times playing baseball I ever had. There was – not a lot of pressure at all. There's a bunch of fans that had your back behind you, and you know, thankfully Coach Knight sent me that spot, because that marked my baseball career at college.
Was there a teammate there that was with you? I'm trying to remember.
No, I didn't come with any teammate. I went raw. I just went in there.
Did you face any future teammates that were also in the Northwoods League? Because I know we put some guys out there.
You know, I was the only guy out there at that time.
Wow.
Yeah, only guy in the Northwoods.
All right. Do you have your degree like Evan? I'm recalling. Are you close?
Yeah. Yeah, I graduated a year early.
Okay, that's what I thought. So yeah. What's a degree in?
Marketing. I got a minor in management.
Wow.
And then went into distilled spirits for my certificate, actually. So that's what I'm in.
Look at this. Okay, oh, yeah. So you're going to go off to one of these big distilleries and be a guy, huh?
You know, hopefully. That'd be awesome.
I like it. Well, don't lose my number.
No, I got you.
I liked it. So you've been hitting leadoff quite often now, frequently. And I'm looking at the walks. We got 29 free passes. You had 21 last year. Mm-hmm. Is this a specific approach to try to be a little more patient?
Yeah, I just want to help the team and get on base. And that's been a strong suit for me, is getting those walks in a big time, maybe stealing a base so Dylan Hoy can drive me in, or Zion can drive, whatever it may be, just passing the torch.
I know that stealing a base is something you've done too, 25 to 29 to lead the team. To me, that feels like a number that has a lot to do with the fact that you're healthy for a change, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Thankfully.
What is the thrill of stealing a base? Because I've seen you a few times out there. You love just being a pest to that pitcher, jumping around, dancing around, especially off of second base. I mean, it's clearly a mind game.
Oh, yeah. That's that competitiveness from football. You know, once I get on base, it's just me and the pitcher. And I'm trying to do a job, get to the next base, but it's also fun to get the game shaken up a little bit.
Is it ironic that mind game is with the pitcher, but it's the catcher that tries to throw you out?
That's right. It's like a little chain, isn't it?
I'm waiting for a guy to stare down the catcher, you know?
Right.
That's interesting. Right, okay. So it says you're an Eagles fan.
I am.
How did that start?
You know, my dad was an Eagles fan. He loved Randall Cunningham. And,
okay.
I was a big Donovan McNabb guy. I got a fat head of him and DeSean Jackson on my wall. So those guys were competitors, and I loved them.
Yeah. They're your favorite guys?
Oh, yeah. You know what? DeSean Jackson ended up being my favorite guy, but I'm a big fan of, you know, Jason Kelce now. You know,
okay.
He turned me a little bit.
Yeah. You know, those Kelce guys are pretty good. The home run at Minute Maid against Michigan, what kind of throw was that?
Oh, it was awesome. That was a sweet park to play in, and just to do that, the sound, everything. It was one of those things I won't forget.
Did it feel real when you were there?
You know, it's kind of dreamy, you know. And the grass and everything, it's just too nice. It's so nice, and you're very thankful to be there. But no, it was awesome.
How about you for a favorite ballpark? I know that was probably the one, but elsewhere, maybe in the ACC.
Oh, fair. Clemson was fun to play out. You know, the result wasn't super great, but, you know, Tengen BP and everything there, that was really good weather. It was awesome. You know, it was beautiful.
Favorite uniform?
Ooh. Huge fan of the black tops with the white bottoms.
Those
Saturday, Sunday jerseys we wear, those are sweet.
It brings back some memories for me back to the glory days, you know, 07 and the first years with Dan, so
there
I like
go.
That answer.
I like that.
Henry Davis Clubhouse.
Yes.
It's pretty awesome.
Beautiful.
What does that mean to you guys? What kind of boost did that give you?
We love it down there. We take care of it for sure. So we're very thankful for, you know, the donation you give us. But, yeah, just being able to come back in that nice locker room after a big win like that, you know, being able to celebrate, nice leather seats, little couch to sleep, it's awesome. Yeah,
do you find yourself spending more time there now?
So much time. And that's what the big thing I'm very thankful for also. The guys want to be there. Guys want to be at the ballpark, so you know they're getting better.
And that obviously helps the chemistry with the team.
Oh, yeah. Being around each other. That's awesome.
All right. Now we're going to get down to the stuff. We had bowling with Evan. Mm-hmm. Hunting and fishing. Let's talk about the outdoors, right?
Yeah.
So tell me what's the do you have any trophies? Do you have any mounts at home?
I do. I got a mount in the college house, actually. You know,
okay.
It's a beautiful hat rack, actually. It's a big deer. It's got all our hats on it throughout the
white
house.
Tail buck?
White tail buck.
How many points?
Eight. It's a big 8-pointer.
Oh, wow,
yeah,
that's fantastic. Here in Kentucky?
Here in Kentucky, yeah.
Okay. Now, you're bow hunter, rifle?
You know, I bow hunt, but this morning I actually went out turkey hunting. You know, turkey season just started in Indiana, so we were out there this morning.
How'd it go?
Bow shotgun. No, it didn't go super well, but saw a lot of birds.
Released a few?
Yeah, we let some go. Waiting for a better time.
I like it.
Yeah.
Do you have teammates that you do that with?
Wyatt Daniel Levitch came out with me this morning. So,
All right.
I got teammates.
Do you have a dream destination? Like, someday I want to hunt in this place?
You know, it's more so fishing. I got a dream fishing. I want to go out in Hawaii and catch those big tuna, you know, like they do. I want to do something like that. You know, the water's beautiful out there, but it's so far. You take that plane right, you know, a lot of anticipation.
So, freshwater fishing primarily. What are you, like, bass the best, or have you explored other options?
I love bass fishing, and you know, I've never been out really catfishing my whole life. Like, never really did that, but – bluegill, crappie, all that stuff, but you know, largemouth bass, there's nothing like that. Like
you get in the big distillery job, I'll take you out west. We'll go fly fishing for some trout.
That's a deal.
It's a deal?
That's a deal.
All right, yeah, JT, absolutely. Really appreciate your time. Continued success. Let's go win that first inning against Clemson.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, JT Benson, our guest. Want to thank Evan Webster. Want to thank Coach. 6-1-1, our first pitch times, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Going to have all kinds of four on Sunday. Thank you very much. I'm glad I double-checked that. It hadn't changed in my calendar. 4 o'clock on Sunday, so there's a good note. I only know what I have tomorrow, and tomorrow I don't have anything, so that's always nice. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll talk to you next time at the Dan McDonald Coaches Show.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.